Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stands. Hope you're doing well. Just checking the audio levels because that was down. How are you all doing? Big news this morning around Ruben Amorim and the desire to keep Amorim at Manchester United for the full season. So Jim Ratcliffe will make the decision and he wants to stick with Amorim. We'll delve into that. Lemens debut tomorrow. We'll talk about what that's all about as well. Southgate apparently wants 4 years to take Manchester United into the Champions League. I wouldn't give you 4 hours, mate, but we'll talk about that as well. Lots to get into. Are you ready for the weekend? Are you ready to put yourself through the mill again? Are you ready for another weekend of Premier League action with Manchester United where they play, we're going to mess up your mood for 48 hours? Look, it's Russian roulette when it comes to Man United, isn't it? I've done the preview. Good luck unpicking that. I've gone with a team that I think would at least give us something to build with. I don't expect him to do anything other than what he did last week. I don't think he'll change it. I really don't. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But one person who's not looking to change it is Sir Jim Ratcliffe. So this is coming in from Laurie Whitwell. He says, on if Amorim will be sacked if he loses to Sunderland tomorrow, because some of you, and I'm not judging you, maybe keep it to yourself because other people will. I think and know there are some out there that are basically thinking to themselves, if we're replacing Amorim, if we lose to Sunderland, let's lose to Sunderland. I think that's what some people are saying because it's that old short-term pain, long-term gain. And look, honestly, with Van Gaal, knowing how close we were to getting Mourinho and knowing if we missed out on top four, he would lose his job and we lost out on goal difference and he still won the FA Cup and he still got the sack. I just felt Mourinho was too good to miss, not to miss. And I never wanted United to lose a game. I just was sort of thinking if we don't get top five, it might be really good for the future of the club. And I think Mourinho was better than Van Gaal. So look, maybe some people will be thinking that tomorrow. But this is what Laurie Whitwell has said. If Amorim gets sacked, if he loses to Sunderland, from speaking to people, even if United lost to Sunderland, I don't think it would be the end for Amorim. Speaking with people this week, getting the same information that's already been reported, Sir Jim is the ultimate decision maker. He'd take recommendations from Berarda and Wilcox and the Glazers. Joel Glazer specifically would have an opinion, but Ratcliffe is the one who will decide, and I'm told he wants to give Amorim the full season. It's a new squad to a degree. It's the coach trying to get his methods across even more. We can debate if that's the right choice or not, but that's the current messaging from the very top with Sir Jim Ratcliffe. So that's coming in from Laurie Whitwell via The Athletic, that Sir Jim Ratcliffe is the ultimate decision maker and he is not of a position to be sacking Amorim even if we lose to Sunderland tomorrow. Which, look, I'm sure there's a few of you throwing your cornflakes at the wall, spitting your coffee out in your dog's face. I'm imagining weird stuff here. You know, chucking your toast out the window and hitting the postman accidentally. Not your toaster, that you could go to prison for that. You'd probably go to prison for throwing your toast at someone these days. It burnt me. But the point is, don't throw your toast at anyone or your coffee. My point is, some of you will be quite angry about that because it's like, well, you know, if we lose to Sunderland and Brentford 2 games in a row and we're saying, let's keep the manager, what sort of football club are we? But I think it comes down to... it comes down to personal preference. I mean, what's your reaction to that? Laurie Whitwell is not somebody who writes rubbish. You know, he's well tapped into the club, especially when it's, you know, briefs. That clearly is a brief from the club that Sir Jim Ratcliffe wants to keep Ruben Amorim. And there is like a lot of successful businessmen are stubborn, you know, and women. Women can be stubborn too, and businesswomen. But, you know, Sir Jim Ratcliffe is a man. You know, that's a fact. And he is a businessman and they can be stubborn. And I think that despite the fact that Manchester United is our club, in effect, it's going to be one person's decision here. I don't trust his opinion. You know, I don't trust this man's opinion at all. I have seen nothing in the kindest sense of the word to make me think he understands football. I don't think he understands football. I really don't. I don't think there's any evidence of it. I'm not convinced he's a lifelong Man United fan because a lifelong Man United fan would not go into the season with no midfielder and a lot of other things. So if Sir Jim Ratcliffe is the decision maker, regardless of what I think needs to happen to Amorim, I have massive sympathy with people who want Amorim out. If Sir Jim Ratcliffe's going to make the decision, you must be fuming. because I wouldn't trust this guy to pick the midfielder we need. I don't trust him. Don't think there's any evidence he knows what he's doing at all. So, as much as I want stability at the football club, and as much as I don't want to see another manager sacked, I can't say I'm sat here happy this morning that Sir Jim Ratcliffe's making the decision on the future manager of Man United. I mean, that just terrifies me. It really does. I think there is no evidence that this guy knows anything about football. He probably does know, well, he clearly knows a lot about petrochemicals, cycling, you know, but not football. No, not football at all. So I don't think that's great news to hear that this morning. And look, just to wander off a minute, I'll give you my opinion, because obviously I had Terry last night and Beth yesterday afternoon with Ben Jacobs, which was a fantastically interesting interview, which I wanted to pick up on a couple of things if we have time. Where do I stand at the moment? It's very easy for me at the moment. If Amrim is going to be replaced with Southgate, give Amrim a 10-year contract. If Amrim is going to get replaced with Glasner, let's talk. If Amrim's going to get replaced with Xabi, let's talk. But what worries me about the modern state of Manchester United and the Premier League to a certain extent is that we have no say. So you can scream Amrim out and wake up with Southgate. I don't mean you go to bed screaming Amrim out and you wake up and Gareth Southgate's in your bed. I mean, that's just that's horrendous. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a nightmare. But it's also a nightmare to wake up and Gareth Southgate is doing a press conference as Man United's manager. So if Sir Jim Ratcliffe is going to sack Amrim and give Southgate the job, I really pray to God he keeps Amrim. If he's going to sack Amrim and give Glasner the job, then maybe some people are going, I quite fancy that. Maybe some people aren't. And this is the problem I think we face. I've seen it. We've seen it loads of times. The whole of the Nottingham Forest fan base did not want Nuno to get the sack. They don't want Ange. But one guy who's done a lot of good at that football club, one guy decides, it's my football club, not yours. It's my football club. I'm sacking Nuno and I'm bringing in Ange. And a whole fan base and football world is like going, what are you doing? But he owns the football club. And at Manchester United, it's the same. Millions of us. Looking at the club going, why is this happening? Why is that happening? I mean, why has Amrim not been pulled into an office and said, stop picking Bruno in the midfield. Just stop doing it. If I see it again, you're out. Why is somebody not, why are they taking him in the office and going, Ruben, at the end of the day, you know, what's going on with Bruno? Like, it's crazy. Like, but this is the problem we have in the Premier League and at Manchester United. Our club is being run by people who, let's be clear, don't look like they know what they're doing. And that's the big problem. And I'm not saying that you need a football club run by democracy, but what I do like about Real Madrid, Barcelona, and a lot of Bundesliga clubs is that you can't run your club like the way that Forest guy does or Man United do without some sense of accountability. We've got no say. You know, we're blind, you know, we're blind here because many people are saying sack Amrim now, but if I said Southgate gets a 4-year deal, you'd probably change your mind. But if they sack Amrim and they're going to give the job to someone like Zidane or Xavi or Pochettino or whatever, you'd probably go, let's do the deal now. We don't know what we're voting for. We don't know what we're voting for. We're not even voting. We don't know what we want because we don't know what's coming next. And I think that's the hardest thing. Which is why, for me, I'm sort of like, I'll answer the question now. What I want, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell us what you want, what you really, really want. I want Bruno out of the midfield. No, I mean, it's not just that. What I want, and I said this with Ten Hag, I want to go back to Jose. I want to stop player power. I want to stop player power and just stick with Jose. That's what I want to do. How do you sack a guy that's got a 58% win ratio? How did we do that? Why did we do that? What were we on? What drugs were we on? What were we doing? What were we doing? We sacked a guy with a 58% win ratio. What were we doing? He just finished second in the league. What were we doing? Oh, God, no. Seriously, I know why we did it. It was the first time. And we weren't aware of player power until after he'd gone. But look, what I want, and I said it under Ten Hag as well, the best the best path is the one of least disruption. So the best path forward, I think, is to not sack a manager and start again. But to keep this manager, he's got to show us a vision. Watch the preview. I'm not going to go over it again. He's got to show us something. Against Brentford, we saw nothing. Bienda, Maguire, Luke Shaw, Deleau, Bruno. That's not a future. That's a past. And I don't want to go back there. What I want to see is a future. I want to see a midfield that doesn't have Bruno in it. I want to see a back three that doesn't have Shaw and Maguire in it. I want to see a goalkeeper that's not Bienda. I want to see a future at Manchester United. That's what I want to see. And if Amrim can show us that, I believe the way he talks, he is the right guy. Amrim's a weird one for me. He talks the talk and then he picks shit teams. And that's the frustrating thing. I think he could be a guy we get behind. I still am. But when that team drops tomorrow, regardless of the result, I think I'm going to be sat there going, this is not a future. And that's my big problem. So anyway, but that's my opinion on where we are. The news coming out is that no matter what, even if we lose to Sunderland tomorrow, Sir Jim Ratcliffe will not sack Ruben Amrim. So what are your thoughts on that? Let me know. Marlow says, successful managers are given time to rebuild the club and implement their philosophy. This club was damaged goods way before Amrim. Talk about sacking after less than a year is crazy to me. You know what, Marlow? I think so many of us want to get on board with that. But who's picking Bruno in the midfield? You know what? I'm like that. I want to back Amrim, and then I just get that thought in my head. Who's putting Harry Maguire as the centre-back to play against Pace at Brentford? Yeah, who's putting Bienda in goal? Who's playing Luke Shaw every week? Him. He's doing these things, and I don't agree with it. Mark says, it's my birthday today. I'm enjoying it with breakfast and the United Stand community. Best way to start the day. Hope we see some changes tomorrow. I haven't had my coffee yet, Mark. I'm really looking forward to that afterwards. But happy birthday. Thank you very much. Rome Influencer, I answered this question for you yesterday. Please stop taking us away from it. I know you've sent a sponsorship email. I don't read them. It's not me. If it's not been picked up, please stop asking me about it. It's nothing to do with me. Maybe they've read it and they don't want to reply to you. I don't deal with it. Sorry. I said this to you yesterday. Really, really sorry. I don't deal with that. It's not my job. Preach, Mark. We missed out on Jose again, says Keel Robinson. Thank you very much for that. Or maybe they'll be in contact with you next week. Maybe they're busy. You know, stop doing a super chat every day because I feel guilty. But I don't have access to that. And we're talking about Manchester United. Keel Robinson says, preach, Mark. We missed out on Jose again. I don't want Jose this time. Dean says, do you think Amrim was set up to fail by the owners by not buying a midfielder on purpose so he leaves of his own accord and saves the owners paying competition? No, Dean. That's Stretch Armstrong. So we sacked Amrim. We sacked Ten Hag, which cost us millions. We paid the release clause for Amrim, which cost us millions. And the attention of him failing, which cost us millions, so he walks away and we save 12 million. No, I don't believe in that conspiracy, Dean, unfortunately. Geeky Stuff says, Amrim in. The manager has been let down. Individual errors. These errors have cost us results and the morale of the team. Take them away and it's a different story, better morale. I thought, look, very, very quickly. When I think about Man United at the moment, I don't know whether anyone else gets this. I get this sick frustration in my stomach. And then I think, well, what is the cause of this sick frustration? Because I like Amrim, so it's not him. You know what it is? It makes me want to bang a table in a fist way, not in a sex way. You know, I wanna bang the table. And, you know, I have to prep myself. You might have noticed this over the last few weeks. I prep myself with the bad news so that when the team news comes in and I'm live half an hour before, I'm not losing my shit. I prep myself mentally and then I look at the live chat and you're all losing your shit and I completely understand it, but I've prepped myself. And you know what I'm going to say? What is annoying me at the moment and is making me so bloody angry is every time I see that fucking team news and it's got players that have sacked multiple managers who are fucking waste of time. They're a waste of time in a rebuild. They're not bad players. I'm not going, you know, this player's rubbish, this player's rubbish. We're meant to be building. It's almost like, wake up. I'm grabbing Sir Jim. No, don't do that. It's not fair. He's in his 70s. But, you know, in an analogy way, it's like shaking the tree to get the apples of wisdom. Come on. Come on! You know, I'm like, we're meant to be building a fucking future. We're Manchester United. We've not been anything for a decade. We're rubbish. We play rubbish football. We're in the bottom half of the table. We're exactly where we should be because we're rubbish. We're absolutely rubbish. So why are you using players who've been rubbish as part of the bloody project? Why are you relying on rubbish? Why are you relying on rubbish? You know what, man? You know if you've got dirty windows, right? If you've got dirty windows in your house, yeah, and you need to clean them, do you go in the garage and get the cloth that you've used to clean the floor with and just rub the dirt in? Or do you pop down the shop, get a clean cloth and some good cleaning products and a bucket of water so you can spray it on, clean, rinse, go around, clean your windows? We're cleaning with dirty windows with a shitty cloth. We're just making more mess. That's Man United's plan, and that's what bothers me. It's not the ownership. It's not the players. It's not the manager. It's the bloody vision. I can't see through dirty windows. Clean the bloody windows. Don't clean dirty windows with a shitty cloth. I still can't see. I want to see the vision. That's all I want. I want to see. And even if you just clean a little bit and I can look out the window and go, this is going to be amazing when you clean the rest, I can't see the vision at the moment at Manchester United. And the vision cannot be Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, Dalot, Bruno in midfield. The funny thing is, you can use those players as part of the vision. You could play Bruno at 10. You could play Maguire as a left or right-sided centre-back. Just don't use him as the last man. Don't use Bruno in the midfield. Don't use Bielsa at all. And Luke Shaw should be a backup option, not a start one. This is my big problem. This is what frustrates me. People say, why do you get so angry with Amrin when you're not Amrin out? Because I believe he can show us the vision, but I'm baffled by why he's picking players that sacked Ten Hag. I mean, a year ago, Bruno Fernandes, Dalot, Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, if he'd been fit, Casemiro, these are all key players to keep Ten Hag in a job. So why are they part of a fucking rebuild for Ruben Amorim? It makes no sense to me. That's what's frustrating me. And as I said, they can be in the team. I'm not blaming them for where Man United are. I'm just saying, why is Ruben Amorim using them in wrong positions? It really frustrates me. Everyone should watch our game with Southampton. Bruno 10, Ahmad hat-trick, Anthony great in space, Manu Ugarte, centre mid. Last time we looked good, says Kiel. Exactly, show us a vision. Clean the windows. Tom McBride says, I think the hierarchy probably sometimes tune in here to get a better understanding of football. I wouldn't worry too much about Southgate, says Tom. The best part of that is the clarification that Sir Jim makes the football decisions and not the Glazers, says Robert McCormack. I mean, to be honest with you, the Glazers making football decisions is a bit like asking your rabbit to drive your car. Sir Jim Ratcliffe is a bit like asking your dog. I trust my dog more than the rabbit, but, you know, it's still a dog driving a car. It's all very well being stubborn, but you have to end up right or you look stupid and the fans pay the consequences. Time to man up, says Chris. Oh, whoa. Yeah, Chris makes a great point here. If Sir Jim Ratcliffe thinks he can keep Ruben Amorim in the job for the full season, good luck with that. He understands football less than I think. If the results continue the way they are, then you're just going to damage your own reputation, mate. You know, the protests will come back. He may think he's in control. No owner's never in control of a football club. It just depends on whether you can survive it. But it will go bad. I like the fact that Jim is backing Amrim's plan. This is not a quick fix by buying a couple of players, but it will come out eventually. Yeah, but Slow Sports News, I'm sorry. You know what I'm going to say? Who's picking Bruno Fernandes in the midfield? Anybody that wants to say, I like Sir Jim's backing Amrim and this is a long-term vision that's going to work out, the biggest mic drop is always going to be who's picking Bruno in the midfield? Who's putting Harry Maguire as the centre-back? Who's putting Bielsa in goal? He's making shit decisions, Slow Sports News. That's not me being Amrim out. That's just me being balanced and saying, we can't just sit here and go, doesn't matter if we lose to Sunderland. Doesn't matter if we lose to Brentford. It's a lot hard job. It's a hard job, you know? You know, it's a hard job. Let's stick to it. Let's stick by it. We're losing to Brentford. People are worried about losing to Sunderland. Like, there does become a point where you go, 350 grand a week, Casemiro. 300 grand a week, Bruno. You know, we have got good enough players to beat Brentford and Sunderland. You can lose to Brentford, but you can't get your arse smashed like we did. Like, they absolutely kicked us up the arse all afternoon. That's not good enough. Ange getting sacked. Michael says you are manager out subconsciously. Oh, mate, don't, you know, a few years ago, somebody accused me of something very serious subconsciously because I liked Luke Shaw, and apparently it was because he was white. You know, don't come at me with subconscious crap. Subconscious. I'm 46 years of age, mate. I know who I am. I know what I am, faults and positives. I don't subconsciously have something going on that I'm not aware of. Bloody hell, you're a subconscious prat, then. If I'm Amrim out, you're a subconscious twat. I'm not subconsciously Amrim out. Fucking hell. If I'm Amrim out, I'll say it. I'm not scared. I was Van Hal out. I was Ollie out. I'm not scared of saying it. There's nothing that... mate, we've got 2.2 million subscribers. We're the biggest bloody football community by a long way because of you. If you think I wake up in the morning and go, oh, I can't say I'm Amrim out, I might lose viewers. Mate, I'll probably get more. If I screamed and shouted Amrim out, we'd probably get double the views. Easily. Trust me. That's why people are doing it. Like, the views angle is to be a manager out. 100%. Which is why I won't do it. I'll always be true to myself. I can't stand the fact that he's picking Bruno in the midfield. I cannot stand it. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. Play him as a number 10 or put him on the bench. But I don't want to change the manager. I don't want to change the manager because I just think it will just make things worse. But do I think things are going to... I think where people struggle with my and some people's opinion is that they don't like the fact that I'm saying it might never get better. We might never get better. People don't like that. No, it will. It has to. It will. I agree. I want it to get better. It has to get better. How, you know, but it might not get better. Like Rage Candy says, it can't be worse. Of course it can be worse. There was bloody uproar because we finished 8th and won the FA Cup. We've just finished 15th and lost the cup final to Spurs. It can get worse. 100% it can get worse. Ange is going to get sacked twice before Amrim, says Sulai. Tusha says, on time, Bridge. I like the idea of backing the manager, says Emily, but sometimes someone senior needs to be questioning Amrim on what he plans to do to change the situation we're in. I think this is the question. You've got Jason Wilcox, who's inexperienced. You've got Omar Berada, who's never been a CEO before. And let's be honest, Man City CEO, COO is very different to being a Man United CEO. I don't think there's anybody above Amrim that can pull him into the office and have a word. Like, I don't think there's anybody that, you know, football-wise, is his equal. This is why not having a Ralph Rangnick as a sporting director really kicks us in the arse every bloody year. Because if you had Ralph Rangnick, he would pull Amrim into the office. It wouldn't need to be a shouting match. And it would be, you're going to lose your job, Ruben. Like, I know what you're trying to do, but you're going to lose your job. Like, none of the fans like Bruno in the midfield. I don't like Bruno in the midfield. I'm not convinced Bruno likes playing in the midfield. So basically, you're out there on your own in the most difficult job in the world. And you're out there on your own doing something nobody agrees with. And it's not working. So why are we keeping doing it? It's not an admission of defeat to stop doing it. Put Bruno up as a number 10. Put him on the bench. Like, you tried something, it's not working, it's not going to work. Just make the change because everything else you're doing is good. Make the change. That's what the director of football should be doing. It's not really shouting at him. It's just pointing out that this is not working. And also, the minute you stop doing it, all those fans are going to have your back. I'm going to have your back. You know, we can deal with bad results if we're walking in the right direction, but you're going backwards. You're on a treadmill and you're not walking. You're not even running, you know? Didn't Bruno play in that position at Sporting, says Lookman. Oh, God, are we really going to go here? Lookman wants to play Bruno in the midfield. Let's move on. How many times? Mate, I don't want him to play in the midfield. I don't give a shit if he plays it down his local park. I don't care if he plays it for Portugal. I don't care if he plays it for Sporting. I don't care. If you want to play him in the midfield, that's fine. I don't because he's cost us goals. I don't because he's not a midfielder. I don't want him to play in the midfield. That I don't care about where he's done it or how he's done it. I don't care. We need an Amazon documentary like Spurs to see exactly what's going on. They turned it down, Tom. They turned it down. Glasner's favourable because he plays three at the back, says Luke. I mean, look, whatever you say about Glasner, and you know, maybe we'll never have that conversation. Maybe we will. 18 games unbeaten in all competitions is incredible. Is he too defensive? How many times did we say it can't get worse, says Christian? Let's not push our luck. It surely can get worse. I like the Martin Saunders says, American is in a difficult position. Is Nuno Amorim system better than Mbeumo and Cunha? So where do you get the captain in the team? He has to put him in the midfield to get him on the pitch. I agree. I think he's shoehorning Bruno in to get him in the team, Martin. Yeah. I'm so frustrated when I feel Amorim does bring in positives into the team, but keeps putting the wrong players in wrong positions that causes bad results, says KW. I also think, you know, it would be wrong not to mention the treatment of Yoro, Mainoo, Lemens. I don't get it. Yoro was playing really well. Bruno calls him out in an interview. Yoro gets cut, dropped for two games. You know, this would be a story if Yoro was British, but because he's French, no one gives a shit in the media. But Yoro was playing. Imagine if we had a 19-year-old English centre-back that looks like he could be generational. He starts the season really well. Bruno blames him for a mistake that was Bruno's fault, and then he gets dropped. Can you imagine what the media would do? It's not even been written about. It's only us who've discussed it. No media have spoken about that at all. That's a big thing. Obviously, the Mainoo stuff's been mentioned more than that. Right now, we seem to have a vision of blindfolded blind men in a dark room at the bottom of the trench, says Emily. Mariana's trench. Sorry, Emily. We talk about what a United player should be, but not what a Man United manager should be. I can't imagine Sir Alex and Sir Matt would ever publicly threaten to resign because results aren't going our way, says Josh. Patrick Lynch says, I think that Amorim left his vision of a future behind when we didn't sell Bruno. That fee would have started it. He even said himself last season he probably won't be around for it anyway, says Patrick Lynch. Went Brentford and mood awful, says Tunnage. Nobody gets what Ruben Amorim's doing. I go 5-6 games a season. Fans always great, even when the team is bad. But 10 or 12 decisions that match alone that fans were angry about. Bad team, but Amorim's making it worse. My handsome King Kev and I hope you're healthy. Mark says Mazraoui. Hope you're doing well, pal. Do you think Brian Mbeumo can play right wing back and Bruno as a 10 as replay? But the problem with that is I think Mbeumo has looked one of our best players in the attack. So you're moving a player again that's doing well out of position to accommodate Bruno at 10. I mean, Bruno's best position is 10. Would I rather play Mbeumo or Bruno at that position? Probably Mbeumo for me. Andre says, Ten Hag, Ruben and Rangnick said this team can win anyone on their day and they disrespect lesser known managers. So why will the next manager work, says Andre. And Ivan says, guys, I know we're sick of the sacking cycle, but that doesn't mean we can back Ronald McDonald as our coach. Stats and figures over ideology. So good, it's a fair point. Double D, hope you're doing well. We criticise everyone at the club for making stupid decisions, and rightly so, that even though I'm hammering him, he also has to be held account for some crazy decisions. Build with the new bricks, not with the old ones. What a comment. I think that, from Double D, probably epitomises where I am and many of you are. I am hammering him, but he has to be held accountable for crazy decisions, and he should be building with new bricks, not with old ones. Brilliant. Build with the new bricks, not with the old ones. There's an Amorim press conference today. I wonder if there's a press conference with... I wonder if there's a journalist with any bloody brain power to ask him about that. Why are you building with old bricks and not new bricks? Build with new bricks, the fans will help you build. Build with old bricks, they'll lose interest. Absolutely. We say bad team selection, but he probably picks based on what he sees in training. Maybe he sees more errors from Yoro and Heaven. Same with the midfield, says FDC. But I'd still build with the new bricks. Off topic, are you watching the new series on Netflix? No, I'm not watching anything on Netflix at the moment, Boxer. Todd Bowley had no idea, but he doesn't disrupt the flow and keep everyone in line. He gives the manager the tools necessary. Exactly, Seth. Thank you very much. Okay, a little bit more to go through. Let's talk about Lemens very, very quickly. So the general consensus around Lemens is that he is the first team goalkeeper, but they're giving him time to settle. Now, some people might agree with that. Some people might not. The big story coming out this week is that there's a very high chance that he can start this game. Now, I don't know whether we always looked at Sunderland and went, that's the game to start him, because you play him in the game, international break gives him, you know, time to play the game and then deal with the aftermath. You know, the club can deal with the aftermath positively or negatively. We bought him in the last international break, obviously transfer window. First game back was Man City away. Then it was Chelsea at home. Then it was Brentford away. maybe they targeted this game because it's a home game against Sunderland. I hope that is going to be one of many changes. As I said in my preview, we lost the game of football. Like, when did we forget that when you lose a game, there should be changes to a team? People should be dropped for Brentford. All I've heard this week is the players are disappointed. The players are determined to turn it around. I'm sorry, Manchester United or any other club, you get stuffed like Brentford stuff does. You shouldn't have an opinion on turning it around. Most of you should be out of the team. There should be wholesale changes tomorrow. I'm not expecting wholesale changes, but there should be. Since when was it okay to get stuffed and then you pick the same players? I don't care what they're doing in training. If I'm Mainu, Yoro, Lemens, Agate, you know, he did start actually, didn't he? Casemiro, Ahmad, etc. I'm looking at the game and I'm going, surely there's a good chance I'm going to start. I had nothing to do with that game. They were fucking shit. If I'm Yoro, I'm expecting to start. If I'm Casemiro, I'm expecting to start. If I'm Ahmad, I'm expecting to start. You know, if I'm Mainu, I'm expecting to start. That was a shockingly bad performance. There should be wholesale changes. So when we talk about Lemens, I don't know why we're debating whether he starts tomorrow. I mean, was it me or did the third goal go straight at Bienda? It wasn't in the corner. It wasn't low. It was literally going towards his head. Like, you've got hands, mate. That was a clanger. Extraordinary clanger. That's the clanger that takes him out of the team for me. He's got it. You know, if Bienda's in goal tomorrow, what are we waiting for? Why have we spent 20 million quid on this kid if he can't play football? Like, Bienda has done the damage this season. He's a mediocre goalkeeper, and that's being polite. He's a backup goalkeeper at best in the Premier League. The decision's made. Like, it has to be Lemens tomorrow. It's like, to me, it's not even debatable. If he's not in goal tomorrow, I'm sort of like going, what are we waiting for? Because if he doesn't play tomorrow, he's not going to be playing at Anfield. This is the perfect game. The perfect game to do it. So he has to do it. I saw people debating it last night on X. And I was reading the chat. And it was like, well, I don't know whether I'd do it. You know, maybe I'd go with Bienda. Some people were saying, absolutely do it. I'm like, hold on a minute. Bienda cost us 4 million quid. This guy's cost us 20 million quid. Like, his reputation is really good. He's doing really well in training. He's got a house to live in now. If we don't pick him tomorrow, I don't know again. It's just another wild team selection. And look, I'd pick him anyway. If Bienda had a good game last week, I'd still pick Lemens because that's the future. But he made an absolutely shit mistake. It has to happen. Surely it has to happen. And also, as I said, on the preview, for me, the midfield was shit last week. You've got to change the midfield. The defence was a shambles. You've got to put De Ligt back centrally, which means Yoro works better on the right because he's quick and Sunderland are quick. And we want to play high. We want to attack. We're at home against Sunderland. We want to play a high line. So you put your quick defenders in the team. I mean, look, I don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. I'm expecting Bruno in the midfield. I'm expecting Maguire and Shaw. I'm expecting Dalot. And I'm half expecting Bienda, but to be honest with you, I'll be stunned if he does that. Surely he's going to make some changes tomorrow. Surely he's going to listen. Surely he's going to self-reflect. Like, the best managers in the world are adaptable. We know he's not going to be adaptable on his formation. I don't care. But be adaptable in your team selections. You know, at the moment, you're trying to survive with players that sacked the last manager. How does that work, you know? I haven't seen the United stand in about 2 weeks since Man United's depressing. In short, what's been happening, says Arjun. I had to fact check that that guy that said Bruno played in the midfield two at Sporting, it was midfield three and he was on the right. Mario, I think it was rage bait. Bruno has played in the midfield before and he does play in the midfield for Portugal, but it tends to be as the attacking midfielder, not as a holding two. Since we aren't starting Sesko, can we put Cunha up top and play Bruno at 10? We are starting him, mate. He's played the last few games. If we were a top four team, that was SMWH. If we're a top four team, this formation could work, but we aren't, says Ryan. Just saying it might be influencing Amorim's decision, says Luckman. Can you think of a more petulant captain than Bruno in any other top European club? He doesn't do that for Portugal because Diaz, Bernardo Silva and Ronaldo would slap him around. His behaviour is a virus, says Chip. Back the manager, there isn't a quick fix. It's always going to take years, multiple transfer windows, fans guilty of impatience and sacking managers, says Luke. So what you're saying, Luke, is we should sit here and say we back the manager on everything he does. Society shouldn't be like that. So Man United fan base shouldn't be like that. Whether social media exists or not, when I used to go to school on the school bus, you know, down the pub, whatever, we would be having conversations about Sir Alex Ferguson dropping Beckham for Chadwick and stuff like that. These conversations have been going on the terraces, in the pubs, at schools, for time. Fans can't just sit there, Luke, and go, it's okay. It's okay. Like, you know, you're always going to have opinions. And unfortunately, Luke, Ruben Amorim could put himself in a position where he gets time and support, but he keeps doing silly things. We're all complaining about Bruno in the midfield, and I agree he's not good there, but we didn't sell him, so he has to play in the midfield, says Walid. That's probably true. It doesn't mean we all go quiet and agree with it. I think it's a huge problem. According to AI, if United's current best team played 38 games consistently, it would have finished second or third in the league. Maybe Sir Jim is onto something when he says the squad is able for top four. Yeah, you know, Connor, I know a lot of people use AI, but it is just computer-generated opinion based on news articles and stuff that's already been written. It's not an independent thinker yet. So AI saying that Man United can finish in the top two or three, justifying Sir Jim Radcliffe, maybe that's why Sir Jim Radcliffe thinks that, but he might want to check what AI actually is. AI can't say, if AI says Man United are going to finish in third place if they play their best team each week, AI's talking out his arse. I think fifth place would be a bloody dream. That's the pinnacle of what we could achieve. We're not a top four club regardless. Glasner reminds me a lot of Moyes. He does have that aura and charisma. He doesn't have that aura and charisma needed for United. The players, fans and press will eat him alive, says Marlow. Thank you very much for that. Okay, let me just move. Actually, just talking about this. I don't even know if I've got the direct quote for it because I just don't even want to acknowledge it. But let me just see if I can find it for you. Apparently, De Zerbi's another name that's been thrown in. I mean, look, you'll get all sorts of names thrown in. Oh, this is why. I don't think we should talk about this journalist anymore because he writes for The Sun. Like, nobody believes The Sun. So why people are still sharing it, I don't know. So the guy at Manchester Evening News who basically, I don't know, I mean, he must have been sacked. You don't go from the Manchester Evening News to The Sun. So I don't know. I don't know what's gone on there. Maybe he didn't get sacked. Maybe he thought it was a step up. But we shouldn't really be talking about it because it's The Sun. And to be consistent, we don't respect The Sun. Their football news is not respected. So we probably as a fan base need to stop this. Just because he used to work for the Manchester Evening News, he works for The Sun. And it's probably a good fit, really, because I personally think he talks a lot of shit. But the update is around Southgate, and it says sources say boyhood United fan. Sam, I mean, boyhood United fan, lifelong Man United fan, Sir Jim. I mean, what? I mean, do people think that football fans are so thick to go, oh, he was a boyhood Man United fan? There's Man United fans in prison who've done horrible things. Should we give them the job? Like, what's boyhood United fan got to do with anything? Anyway, Southgate believes it could take 4 years to make United contenders in the Champions League. Southgate would require assurances that the United hierarchy to stick to any long-term plan they map out. I mean, I'm relatively calm for a Friday. If Man United give Southgate the job and say they're going to back him for 4 years, I think that would be the end, really. I think that would be the end, wouldn't it? I think you'd just like, I don't know how you'd motivate yourself to get up in the morning, really, if Sir Jim Radcliffe said, yeah, we're going to back Gareth. No matter how bad it gets, we're going to back Gareth. I mean, look, the scary thing is Southgate's name keeps getting mentioned because Sir Jim Ratcliffe likes Southgate. This is the guy who is making football decisions at Manchester United. He is not a lifelong Man United fan. He is an absolute con man when it comes to footballing opinion. I mean, no Man United fan is going to like Gareth Southgate as a Man United manager because it's not what a Man United manager is. I just don't believe this guy really is a Man United fan in the sense of lifelong. I think he supports United, but I don't think he understands football because Gareth Southgate as a Man United manager, it's not a sentence that goes together. It's just not a sentence that goes together. He hasn't managed in the Premier League since 2009. It's like 16 years ago. And he was shit. I think he got a team relegated. His football's shit. He's the luckiest guy in the world to have landed on the England job and he messed up the best generation we've ever had. And we want to give him the Man United job. I mean, he hasn't done club football in 16 years and he's shit. I can't believe we've got a guy that is in control of our football club that even considers this guy being good. You know, it's madness. It's an absolute madness. But do I think it'll happen? I'm not saying. I don't want to jinx it. Do I think Sir Jim Ratcliffe likes him? Yeah. And that's why we're going to fail as a football club. This is why I just do not see a way back. The people making the decisions are rubbish. You know, rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Southgate in charge would be like Tommen was in King in Game of Thrones, says Brian Dale. Seth says, I can back the system, but my question for Amrim is, are you going to build something new with fresh talents or continue to pick players that let down previous managers? And it's a fair question, Seth. Justin says, do you think he's sacrificing points by playing Bruno in the midfield to prove the point that they should have done whatever it took to get Belinda? Justin, I mean, we get a lot of these questions, to be fair. A lot of people ask these questions about over the years as well. Do you think the manager is doing this to prove a point? The honest answer is they can't be doing it to prove a point because, you know, was Ten Hag proving a point doing what he was doing? Was Jose proving a point? Was Ollie proving a point? You don't prove a point. You lose your job and the players stay. So it would be nonsensical for Amrim to be proving a point by playing Bruno in the midfield because he will lose his job and Bruno won't. Nate says it was like when Ten Hag used to pick the same team and say the players need to make it right. No, they need to sit their ass on the bench, says Nate. Yeah, I mean, look, I want to see big change tomorrow, but I don't know. Look, the leadership team at Man United is the wrong leadership team. It's not good enough, in my opinion. But Sir Jim Ratcliffe will make the ultimate decision and is not expected to sack Amrim, even if they lose tomorrow. Somebody said, if we lose to Sunderland tomorrow, do you think he should be sacked? It's a very good question. And I'm not Sir Jim Ratcliffe. So I'm answering this because, you know, we're transparent and we're a community. If he loses to Sunderland tomorrow, I mean, I'd still say it depends who the replacement is. If you're asking me to hypothetically sack a manager, I need to hypothetically know what the replacement is. So if he loses to Sunderland tomorrow and the only option is Southgate, he can lose every bloody game of the week, get us relegated. I still don't want Southgate. If he's losing tomorrow and you're going to go for someone who's not Southgate, then you probably do push the button. Yeah. I mean, look, what was it Ben Jacobs said yesterday about Glasner? I genuinely think he would leave Palace if he was offered the Man United job mid-season. And I don't know what you'd pay for that because he's out of contract in the summer. I mean, it'd be very harsh on Palace, but, you know, are we Palace fans or are we United fans? He also said most of the dressing room want to turn things around. Well, maybe they should think about this before they play fucking Brentford, you know? What about the stadium, Mark? Oh, I did read about this, yes. So, again, from Laurie Whitwell, you know the canopy over the stadium designs? Apparently this is causing problems. So their plans drawn up, there's new plans apparently being drawn up that don't feature the canopy because of an ongoing issue with Freightliner. And now this is a company that owns a lot of land around Old Trafford, and United need to buy it so that they can build the canopy construction. Freightliner want 400 million and United value it at 50 million. So there's a huge discrepancy. So, you know, maybe that will happen. The thing I don't understand is, maybe I do understand, is that we had a protest on the Sunday. We had an interview, Gary Neville and Sir Jim Ratcliffe, on a Monday, which was actually quite a good interview, wasn't it? There was one particular question where I think Gary Neville asked Sir Jim Ratcliffe about the £40,000 that was being taken away from the charity for ex-players. And Gary said to him, why don't you just get Bruno and Harry Maguire to do a free event twice a year and you'd make that 40 grand back? And he went, well, that's a good idea. No one's ever thought of that. And it just proved that how badly the club is run, that it can't even think of quick solutions like that. So we had the protest on the Sunday. We had this interview on the Monday. And then on the Tuesday, we had this announcement about a new stadium and all these pictures. And ever since then, nothing's happened. And that was March, maybe February. I think it was March. So we're easily 6 months on. Not a digger in sight at Old Trafford. Remember, Old Trafford will stay up. It's in the car park next to it where they're going to build this stadium. No construction work going on at all. No preparation for any construction work going on at all. This is a stadium that we're meant to be building in by 2030. It's 2026 in, what, 2.5 months? I think that those stadium plans were basically because of the protests. I think it was a positive story to shut down the protests because there's nothing going on. There's nothing going on with stadium. Absolutely nothing. Like, there is no, we're going to start next week, we're going to start next summer. There is nothing going on. So a lot of people said it at the time. This stadium, I remember Beth being really excited about it, and, you know, a few other people, a lot of you were excited about it. It looks great, really excited about it. Shit on the pitch, absolutely shit on the pitch, but look at the stadium. People were getting really excited about it. And there were some of us who went, I feel like people are getting mugged off here. I feel like this is a, look at what we're going to do. Look at what we're going to do at some point, sometime, somewhere in the future, maybe, you know, and it's not happening. It's not happening, is it? It's not happening. And the pictures they showed you aren't going to happen either. So basically, we're building a stadium. Look how amazing it looks, but we don't know when we're building it, and it's not going to look like that. Everything at United is in the future that never comes. Same with Belabor as well, says King. Well, yeah, Belabor was... Belabor stopped a load of protests. There was a protest planned for the opening game of the season against Arsenal, and Man United briefed to Ornstein that we're going in for Belabor, and everyone thinks we're getting Belabor, and the people who are organising the protest get a load of shit. What are you doing that for? It's embarrassing. Back the club, back Sir Jim, back Ineos, back the club. Belabor doesn't happen. Protest gets cancelled. Man United don't have a midfielder. At some point, you've got to start asking your questions. Do you trust this ownership? And if you do, please give us the evidence or whatever you're having a pint of, because it would be nice to see. We're a special kind of fans, says Jeans. In many ways, I think we are, yeah. Through and through, United, says Clayton Daniels. A company linked with FSG bought the freight line. That's why they're rethinking the plans, says JR. Well, look, personally, I think Freightliner should ask for 400 million. I don't want an easy ride for the Glazers and Ineos on the rebuild of that area, because that's what's keeping them in place. I'll be honest with you. I think if Sir Jim Ratcliffe and the Glazers couldn't afford to, or found it difficult to build a stadium, I think the chances of them leaving in the next 2 years are a lot bigger than if they build that stadium. I don't think they'll be gone for 20 years. So I might be completely wrong about this, but my assumption has always been, if they can't build that stadium, I think they'll be gone. If they do build that stadium, I think they'll be here when I die. And most of you, I think they'll be here forever. So the stadium is the thing that gets the Glazers out. Because Sir Jim's irrelevant, really. You know, if Sir Jim bought the whole club, I think we'd have been a bit have a different opinion of him. It's the Glazers. If that stadium gets built, the Glazers are never going anywhere. If it doesn't get built, I think there's a chance the Glazers might go. But how do you stop it when they've got the government? Remember how the Glazers forced Martial into the squad and didn't want to sell him? Are they doing the same now with Bruno, says Tubby? Clayton Daniel says, we are united. If we can't get Zidane or Glasner, then I think we hold off. Southgate would be a joke, says Brian Dale. Thank you very much. Okay, we're done. Amorim, change your bloody team. Build for the future, not for the past. Change your bloody team. Take Bruno out of the midfield, put Lemens in goal, play Yoro at the back, drop Maguire, get Bruno out of the midfield, win tomorrow and show us something we can be bloody excited about. Because I tell you what, if we beat Sunderland tomorrow with the team that lost to Brentford, what does it really mean? We're all going to be thinking Liverpool are going to pound us after the break. Sacked. If he loses to Sunderland, cancel all fixtures, pump poison gas through Old Trafford Stadium and just restart the club from scratch, says Peter. Thank you very much. Sold the dream by the Untouchables. Next number one single, says Tom Grant. Thank you very much for that. Okay. Yeah, we're back just after 1:30 with Amrim's press conference. Hopefully you'll get some big good questions. We'll have to wait and see. Love the show this morning. Thanks everyone for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed, please do, because look at that. I've just realised this. We're so close to 2.2 million subscribers. So let's get pushing that up. Subscribe, bottom right-hand corner. Get involved. We'll see you later for the press conference. Thanks for watching.